Beloved, would you pray with me and for me? O good and gracious God, as the scripture is read and the word proclaimed, grant that our hearts and minds may be open to all that you would say to us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, from the 10th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Now, as Rick has already pointed out, this is the very familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. Perhaps there is no one anywhere who does not know this parable. So the challenge this morning is for us to be open to what God may be saying to us, perhaps again and again, or anew and afresh. So I invite you this morning to resist the temptation to run ahead with this story, but to listen carefully to each word as if you had never heard it before. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent.'" Jesus said, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise, and when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. It is good to be here with you today to have this opportunity to preach again from this pulpit to this wonderful congregation. I had to Shanghai your preacher, your senior pastor, in order to get here, but I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to give him a little bit of time to himself. A novelist, a poet, a scientist, an educator were asked what they thought was humanity's greatest need. The novelist said that the greatest need of humanity was for a philosophy that would answer the question, "Why should I live?" The poet said that the chief need he saw was a great respect for humanity, a vast reverence for the human spirit and the human mind. The scientist declared that men and women most need a long perspective and vast patience. The educator declared that our greatest need was a revival of simple human decency. Indeed, all of these ideas are worthwhile, but it seems to me that none is more important than the idea of human decency. Today, we are not lacking in lofty philosophies. We have plenty of ethical theories and social blueprints. We are literally overwhelmed by scientific devices and skills. But sisters and brothers, we are woefully short on plain, everyday human kindness and mercy. When Jesus was asked about the stuff which made for eternal life, or as I played with the text, when Jesus was asked, when the roll is called up yonder, will I be there? He told the famous story of the Good Samaritan. In this well-known and maybe well-worn story, a man is traveling a road which was known to be frequented by robbers and bandits. As luck would have it, he fell prey to these thugs and thieves who beat him, robbed him, and left him for dead in the ditch beside the road. Sometime after his attack, a priest and a Levite pass by, but they ignore him and keep on going. To be sure, these righteous religious men were sympathetic with the plight of this unfortunate traveler. I rather imagine that they shook their heads in sorrow, and perhaps even they shed a tear, but kept on going to their important business. In due time, a Samaritan came along. He too was sympathetic. He too probably shed a tear. But this good Samaritan expressed the sympathy with genuine personal concern. He was not just satisfied to shake his head in sorrow or to shed a tear and go on his way. No, his sympathy, his compassion called for something more. It called for him not just to shake his head, not just to bless his heart, not just to mercy me, but to do something. So he stopped and helped the beaten man and saw that he received proper care. It is with this story that Jesus illustrated the art of human kindness. He made it clear for all of us to see that mercy is one of the fundamental principles of life, and that plain old kindness is the primary stuff of an eternal life, not just over yonder, but here and now, in this place, in this hour, in your life, and in mine. In this story, Jesus lifts up for us the importance of human kindness. It's one of the reasons that I ask you to listen to this text as if you had never heard it before. Because for weeks now, I've wrestled with what to preach on this day. This is the text for today. But I didn't want to go there because I said, we all know the story of the Good Samaritan. And we all make our assumptions. And I was afraid that maybe you might wander off. But somehow I could not get away from this text because I felt there was something different in this text besides just defining who a neighbor is. There was something else in this text. And after weeks of resisting, I began to wrestle with this text. And it was out of that wrestling, out of that listening to the text in a different way with fresh ears, that I caught this tiny word buried in the text when Jesus said, "Which of the ones was the neighbor to this man?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy." It dawned on me that a fresh way of looking at this text is to look at this text from the point of view of mercy. And so I want to suggest to you three things this morning about this mercy that this text seems to bring forth for us. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite are religious people by birth and by right. One made intercessions to God on behalf of people, and the other was the head usher in the temple. In their life and sacred duties, they were to represent the spirit of the great commandment to love God totally and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now, over and against these two religious people, Jesus places the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. The Samaritan. The one who was despised because of his race and without religious standing among the Jews. This Samaritan. And we all know there was great enmity, hatred, anger, resentment between Jews and Samaritans. In fact, Jews often said Samaritans were lower than a dog. So we all know that the Samaritan was on the outside. Yet these three men traveled the same road, came upon the same beaten and dying men. The two professional religionists passed by on the other side, while the Samaritan, the one lower than a dog, the Samaritan stopped to help. With such a simple act of kindness and mercy, the Samaritan demonstrated profound faith. The Bible teaches us that the plain kindness of the Samaritan is a necessary fruit of true faith. The Bible says that God has a special interest. I sometimes say God has a prejudice for people whose faith produces the fruit of human kindness. It declares, the Bible declares above all else, that God requires of us that we do justice, that we love kindness, and that we walk humbly with God and one another. Of all the things that are important, those three, mercy, kindness, justice, humility, those are the ones of value. The Bible tells us that human relationships are important. How we relate to each other is vitally important. How we respond to each other, to those we know, to those we don't know, to those we like, to those we don't like, to those who are like us, to those who are different from us, to those who are righteous, to those who are sinful. Human relationships, how we relate to each other across all the lines that divide us, is what's important. Jesus once said that we should not try to worship God until we are at peace with one another. You hear that? You hear that? We should not try to worship God until we are at peace with one another. You know, sisters and brothers, If we took that with radical seriousness, there might be a lot more empty seats. The true test of our faith is how we relate to one another. The Bible holds that only kindness does to the least of men and the lowliness of women as if it were done to God. Remember how Jesus said when he was asked, when the disciples asked him, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you alone and comforted you? When were you in prison and we came to see you? And remember what Jesus said, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. From the beginning to the very end, the Bible puts the love of neighbor, simple human kindness, second only to the love of God. In fact, it almost suggests to us that only when we love each other, only when we love the neighbor, as broad as that may be, can we truly love God. The Bible teaches us that faith in God finds expression in simple acts of human kindness. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. A loving spirit, a kind heart, is an expression of our faith in God. The other thing I want to say to you is that human kindness has often been found to be an effective solution to human problems. Now, I want to throw a little humor into this morning. This is serious stuff we're talking about, but I want to throw a little humor in. I read a story this week, and I almost left it out, but decided to put it in. It was a story about a man who moved into a neighborhood, a very friendly, outgoing man, a man who seemed to have no enemies, moved into a neighborhood, and as luck would have it, he became neighbor to the most disagreeable, the most critical person in the entire town. And someone told the friendly man about the mean character of his neighbor, and he responded, well, if he bothers me, I'll kill him. Now, this tough statement came to the disagreeable neighbor, and he tried every way possible to irritate and anger his friendly neighbor, but every irritation, every harsh word, every criticism was met with kindness and acceptance. Finally, the mean-spirited man abandoned his ways. And in doing so, he said, I was told he would kill me, but I didn't know he would do it with kindness. Well, I don't know whether that story is true. Whether it's true or not, the message is equally important. That sometimes it's just human kindness. It's just simple mercy that transforms situations and people. I read another story this week that is absolutely true about a mental hospital in the Midwest of this country. It had an awful record for successfully treating people. People oftentimes came into this hospital and never came out. They were never healed. Their relationships were never healed. They were just warehoused until they died or faded away. And finally, the hospital decided that they had to do something about this reputation, and so they hired two well-known psychiatrists. They were actually brothers. two psychiatrists to come and be administrators of this hospital. And in a short time after their administration, things begin to change in this hospital. All of a sudden, people didn't go there to be forgotten and left to die, but people found themselves changed. Their lives healed. Their relationships put back together. It became not just a warehouse for people with problems, but it became a place of healing for people who had lost hope. And so people began to ask questions. What happened? And they sent some folks to interview these two highly trained, highly skilled, highly professional psychiatrists. They said to them, what did you do? I mean, what new methodologies did you use? What philosophies, what procedures did you implement here in this hospital to bring about this transformation, not just in the hospital, but in the people who were there and who left there? Perhaps the transformation in the whole community. What did you do? And these two psychiatrists said, almost in union, that the secret lay not in new therapies, not in new drugs, but in the introduction of one simple element, the element of mercy, of kindness, of love. One of the psychiatrists said, the doctor doesn't cure by any specific treatments. You cure by atmosphere, by attitude, by sympathetic understanding, by the application of simple human kindness and mercy. The exact thing that the Good Samaritan gave to the beaten and bruised man found laying along the side of the road. And friends, there's story after story after story about people whose lives were changed, communities who were changed, churches who were changed because simple kindness and mercy became their driving passion. Well, finally, I want to say a quick word about what this simple kindness and mercy looks like. Because, friends, it's more than just the shake of the head. It's more than just a, well, bless their hearts. It's more than just the shedding of a tear, or even weeping uncontrollably. It's deeper than that. It's more costly than that. The mercy and kindness that Jesus appreciates in the Good Samaritan is radically inclusive. It's radically inclusive. It knows no boundaries. There's no demarcation between people because of their ethnicity, because of their standing in the community, because of their social standing, because of their economic standing, because of their color of the skin, because of their orientation. There's no segregation. It's radically inclusive. It applies to everybody. It's extended to everybody, whether you are a saint or a sinner, a Samaritan or a priest or a Levite. It makes no difference. The mercy and grace that Jesus appreciates in the Good Samaritan is radically inclusive. It knows no boundaries. Period. The mercy and kindness that Jesus elevates in the Good Samaritan also calls us to relinquish. I picked that word. Relinquish our time and our resources. To risk our safety and our reputation to help another person. To be the Good Samaritan is not an easy thing. It calls for sacrifice. It calls for giving. Deeper and more than just a dollar in the Salvation Army kettle at Christmas. It reaches out to all people. And it pays whatever price. It bears whatever burden is necessary to do that. Hear this. The kindness and mercy that Jesus promotes in the Good Samaritan is the kindness and mercy that God extends to every one of us. For in some ways, the story of the Good Samaritan is not just a story about the Good Samaritan and the dying man. The story of the Good Samaritan is your story and my story. For we too are victims. Victims of our addictions, victims of our bruises and beatings. We too are victims. Victims of our sin. But in His mercy, God has reached out to redeem us, to reclaim us, to save us for His own, to give us a place when the roll is called up yonder. How was it John said? For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only Son. And Paul picked up on that and said, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love and mercy for you and for me and for all of humankind. And so Jesus ends this parable by saying, who showed mercy? Who was the neighbor? The man said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, when the roll is called up yonder, and even in the here and now, when you do this, when you love mercy and practice kindness, you too shall know life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.